السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Definitely it becomes an ibadat now. It's not just a love affair, but it is an ibadat. I had mentioned this in one or two nikah bayans, that in the culture of the kuffar, two people fall in love, and because they fell in love, they now want to spend their lives together. Right? In Islam, it is different. In Islam, it is two people who love Allah Ta'ala. It's a husband, a man and a woman who love Allah Ta'ala. And in compliance with the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they get married. They're getting married because they love Allah Ta'ala and they love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it is more than just a love affair in Islam. It's not just a love affair. It's much greater. It is ibadat. So we said that today we will focus on how to choose a spouse. Right? We'll try and touch on few aspects for both genders. Those who are already married, we're not asking you to now rectify the mistakes and find another spouse now, so now go about doing it the right way. Right? Those that are married, we got children, we got nephews, we got nieces, so it is for us to learn and be able to guide them. Those who are not married, then obviously, if there is some beneficial advices, you try and adopt it. To start off, the biggest mistake that is happening in today's times is young people are finding their own spouses. Right? They're falling in love in university, high school, workplace, whatever, or on the internet, and then they're deciding they want to get married. Right? Why this is flawed, why this system is flawed, is simple. See, always look at what's proven and has produced results, right? If we turn the clock back, in the old days, very few people found their spouses themselves, right? The older people in the family, they made inquiries, they went around, they found the match, and then they told the young person, no, you get married here, right? Sometimes, the person himself didn't even know who he's getting married to. She didn't know who she was getting married to. The old people, I'm not saying must do that, but I'm just trying to highlight something. The old people, they found the match, and nikahs were made. And we find that in that system, there were very few divorces in the ummah. So it shows that that system worked. That system worked, right? Today's times, the younger people are thinking that no, so old people don't know what they're talking about. We will find our match, right? The only thing they're finding is a match to light fire. That's all. Their homes are just full of fire, right? Initially, there's different kind of fire. After that, there's a different kind of fire. First, when they're dating, they think they are on fire too. No, we have to get married. We got a very, very powerful love relationship going here. And after they get married, then their house is on fire. And then they say, no, now we have fallen out of love. We want to now get divorced. Right? So, in today's times, there are divorces happening like crazy. Right? So it shows that this system here, this system that is being adopted now, is not really proving beneficial. What is the reason for this? You see, we take a simple example. A person wants to go for Hajj, right? Or a person wants to go to Aqsa for Itikaf. The first thing he does now, he says, who went from our masjid, who went? So let me ask him what's required, what's needed for the journey. If I want to time my ihram there and go, what's the story? Do they trouble you? at the border post, he will find out from somebody who went through it. And then when that person advises him, it's not this person, he can advise me because he went through it, he got tajraba, he's got experience. Right? So like this, the elder people, they went through marriage. They understand life. The young person, the only thing he understands is courtship. Right? He sees a pretty face, she sees a handsome face. They're only interested in courtship. Right? On top of it, passions are overriding the person's intellect. Right? The older people, they are now experienced. They know what is required to go through life. They've been through marriage. They know what it is. Right? So they will be able to advise the person correctly. Okay? So this is why this system is much better. Okay? Now with regards to choosing a partner, okay, before we move on there, just one more thing. You see, what happens when a person starts a courtship, right? A boy starts dating a girl is dating a boy. Now they say, no, we're getting to know one another. But in that getting to know in one another, at some stage they say, we fell in love now. Right? So now they're in love. So now the boy comes home, and if he's got a little bit adab or something, now first he'll tell his parents, no, I think I want to settle down now. Before he drops a bombshell, I think I want to settle down. So the mother will say, yeah, no, man, hey, I got one girl in mind for you. I've been waiting for this day. I got this. Father got somebody else in mind. Mother got somebody else in mind. Granny got somebody in mind. But now this boy is not interested because his mind is occupied somewhere else. Right? So now when he brings it to his parents' attention that, look, there is a girl I'm interested in. So, all right, no problem. Who are you interested in? So when he gives the name, forget about it. You cannot get married there over my dead body. Now you see, this over my dead body story is not a bad story. Right? The person can get out of it. I mean, my mother is not happy. I mean, my mother is the one who gave birth to me. She nurtured me. She looked after me. Right? I've got a much stronger bond with her. I mean, she took care of me. She's not happy. I must listen to her. The day when I couldn't talk, and the only thing I could do was cry, she understood my language. Even the time when I couldn't express myself, the only thing I could do was cry, she understood my language. So today, what I think, she can't understand my language. She definitely knows what's best for me. So if she's telling me that girl is not good for me, I'm supposed to listen. But now I've got a problem. I can't listen. Why? I'm already in love. Right? This is the problem with courtship. I can't listen now. I'm prepared to turn my back on my mother, my father, my siblings, my grandparents, everybody. I'm prepared to even run away from home. Why? I made the mistake of courtship. I got involved in a love affair. Now I finished commit to this girl. I know, you don't worry, I'm marrying you and whatever. Right? Now how do I come out of this now? Now I feel like a hypocrite if I come out. All my friends know I'm going out with this girl. She's going out with me. So I can't come out of this web. I'm tangled. So as much as that young person may want to listen to his parents, but now it becomes very hard for him to listen to his parents. He's been an obedient child all his life. Now all of a sudden he's defying his parents. Why? Because he got involved in a love affair. Right? It's actually, it's a guna, right? I'm just saying what we call it, love affair. It's not love, right? But a person calls it a love affair, right? So these are the harms of getting involved in affairs. That after that, we're not rational anymore. Right? Now the correct procedure, the way that this thing is supposed to happen, how was it supposed to happen? A boy reaches manhood, adulthood. Now there's few scenarios. One is a person, he knows he cannot control himself anymore. He's reached a stage where he cannot control himself anymore. If he doesn't get married, he is going to fall into sin. Over and above this, he has got the ability to get married. Ability to get married doesn't mean he has to be driving a fancy motor car and he has to have a house that is furnished and he has to be able to take his wife on an overseas honeymoon trip and he has to be able to buy a wedding ring and he has to be able to buy a gold set and all that. That's not requirements. He's got the basic. He can get married, he can pay her meher and he can provide a shelter for her. Even if it is a one-bedroom flat, he can clothe her and he can feed her. These are the basics. He can take care of her, so he is in a position of getting married. And if he doesn't get married, he's going to fall into sin. When a person is in this stage, it is compulsory for him to get married. Right? It's compulsory for him, he must get married. Right? Then we've got a situation where the person has got the ability to get married, everything. Right? Obviously he's got an inclination, right? But if he doesn't get married right now, he won't fall into guna. He won't fall into guna. Then too, it is sunnah for him to get married. It is sunnah for him. Best thing for him to do is to get married. Right? And if a person doesn't have the means to get married, doesn't have the means to get married, and there's nobody that can assist him, nobody that can support him, etc., then the best thing for him is to keep roza. You know, a person, and this is very close to the Quranic ayats, right? We don't have slavery in today's times. But there's a man who, his wife has passed on. He's not a very wealthy man. He's not a very wealthy man. Normal working class, is earning a basic salary. And he wishes to settle down again. And for a while now, he's trying to find a wife. And he says, no, ma, as soon as you talk about marriage, they won't know, you got a car, you got this, you got that, you got that. Say, first time I married for love, second time married for money. So anyway, so he's not coming right, you know, with settling down. The other day he phones me and he says, Maulana, tell me something. Is there anything wrong in me getting married to a Muslima who is of the indigenous people? She's a Muslima, but she is of the indigenous people. Is anything wrong with me getting married to her? So I'd rather get married to her and save myself from sin than staying single and falling prey to guna. So I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. He said, well, there is a certain Muslima. I think I'm going to propose to her. She accepts, I will get married to her. Right. Now, if he has to marry somebody like that, does he need too much of wealth to look after her? She is prepared to live on basics. So this is a person who has got fikr for his iman. Because if we fall into zina, iman leaves our body. But if a person just cannot afford marriage, he cannot afford getting married, then he must keep musalsal roza. He must keep musalsal roza. He must keep roza continuously. Not one day and 2 days. Continuous roza. Till his shahwat breaks. And he can control himself. He doesn't fall into guna, he doesn't fall into sin. Right? So these are just pointers as to when a person, you know, when it is necessary for him, he's got no choice in the matter, he must get married, and when it is sunnah and better for him to get married. If he cannot afford a woman who is got a lot of demands, etc., then he must look for a lady who doesn't have so much of demands. A more simple woman, somebody who doesn't have too much of demands. Now when it comes to this marriage itself, now choosing the partner, right? Looking for the partner, choosing the partner. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a woman is married for 4 reasons. A woman generally is married for 4 reasons. One is because of her wealth, that she comes from a good financial standing, if I marry her, I don't have to work. I don't mean like that. Okay? For her wealth. She's married for her wealth. The second reason that she is married is for her beauty. This woman is very beautiful. You get married to her. Right? The third thing is her lineage. The type of family that she comes from. And the fourth reason is her deen. Because of her deen. How much deen she got. She's a deendar woman, religious type of woman. Now the same will apply for a man. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressing the men folk. So he's saying that a woman is normally married for one of four reasons. Right? The same thing will apply for a man. That a lady will marry a man for one of four reasons. Either she will marry him because of his money, or she will marry him because of his looks, or she will marry him because of his lineage, or she will marry him because of his deen. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَزْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. That go for deen. Go for deen. From all these four things, go for deen. Go for deen, you'll be successful. Why? You see, a relationship between a husband and wife is a very close shop relationship. Sometimes a person can be a tyrant. Right? He's a tyrant at home. But only his wife knows he's a tyrant. Everybody else thinks this fellow here won't harm a fly. But his wife knows his tyranny. So a husband-wife relationship is a very close shop relationship. Nobody knows what's going on, but Allah knows. If a spouse has got deen, if a man has got deen, he'll treat his wife well. If he got one slice bread also, he will make sure she eats even if he has to stay hungry. If he got little bit money, he will make sure he buys her a pair of shoes rather than himself. Because he's got deen in him. He doesn't want to be answerable by Allah Pak on a day of Qiyamah. Why didn't you take care of her? You took her from her father's home. Why didn't you look after her? So a person with deen on both sides. If a lady has got deen, then she will be obedient to her husband. She will follow the instructions of her husband. She will fulfill her husband's desire. Because she understands that if my husband needs me and I don't go to him, the malaika are going to curse me the entire night. But if she doesn't have deen, she won't do these things. Because she's got no khawfi khuda. She's got no fear of Allah Ta'ala. She will be talking to all and sundry strange men, doing her own thing, because there's no deen. The man can say, how much I'm wearing the pants. Today the wife say, it is, we are equal. There's no, you are the Amir and I am this and all that. You also earning, I'm also earning. But if there's deen, then deen will keep this marriage together. Because the husband got khawf-e khuda, the wife got khawf-e khuda. If they are wealthy, they will not become arrogant. If they are poor, now the wife won't want to leave the husband. Oh, he lost all his money and his shops and everything. She will take it as taqdeer. So whatever halat they go through, if he has to get sick, he said, no, this Allah Pak is giving me an opportunity to nurse him, to get sawab. And the same with the husband. So go for deen. Now you see, this is where the initial mistake happens, is that the young couple, the young boy and girl, when they are looking for wife, who's looking for deen? He just saw in the lectures, a new girl came from out of town, she's got a flat here, got her own car, very pretty girl. He saw her in the lecture in the varsity, no, I need to marry her. He doesn't know anything about her deen. So the main thing that we're supposed to look at is deen. But when we are young at that age, we're not looking at deen. We're not looking at deen. Right? So this is what we're supposed to be looking at. Now we come to the procedure, right? So the criteria is deen. More than anything else, criteria must be deen. See, looks is there today, gone tomorrow. Tomorrow she's going to be gone old, wrinkled, white hair, and the man also, same story. Today maybe he's a bodybuilder, by the time he get old, maybe he'll have ties around his stomach, what you know. So that figure, looks, all that, that can change. Today he got very nice black hair, tomorrow he'll be bald. What you going to do? Go for looks, right? I'm not saying just marry any, looks is important also, right? But don't base the decision only on looks. Then you take wealth, that is also something that fluctuates. Wealth fluctuates. A person can be a millionaire, next thing he can be a pauper, he can be a giver of zakat, next thing he can be a recipient of zakat. So these things are not, there to stay. Sometimes Allah Pak leaves it, sometimes it's not there. But deen is something, if a person got deen and khawf-e khuda, he will continue, inshallah, in this line. Right? So the procedure is, the boy now, you see, this is another mistake that we make as parents. We are not open to discussion with our children. We're not open to discussion with our children. So, if that boy wants to get married, and worse still, if that girl wants to get married, she feels that I cannot talk to my parents, they'll think I'm being shameless, I'm being forward, I'm being immodest. This is incorrect. We are all human. The parents are human, the children are human. Parents should be open. They know now that this child is coming of marriageable age, right? Discuss it with the son. Discuss it with our son. That, look, boy, do you feel you wish to settle down? If we cannot talk to him, get his young uncle to talk to him. Get his elder cousin to talk to him. Get his ustad to talk to him. That, boy, do you feel now you rather settle down? Sometime the youngster wants to settle down. He cannot talk to his parents. He's busy having an affair on the side because that nobody knows about it. How do I go and tell my parents I want to get married? And sometimes as parents, we going through certain problems in our lives. We forget that our children are also growing up. Our problem clouds the whole situation. We got some financial problem, or we got some whatever problem, health problem, whatever. Now this poor child feels now, how can I go and tell them now? They're in this predicament here. Now where am I going to go talk to them about me getting married? He needs to get married. His life needs to carry on. Otherwise, he's going to end up in sin. That girl is going to end up in sin. Right? So this topic must be... must be something that when the children come to a certain age, they must be able to communicate this to us. We must have that type of a taluk with them, that they can communicate this thing to us. Right? So now once this young man or the young lady has expressed to their parents that, look, I feel now that I would like to settle down. Right? Now it is the duty of the elders of the family to find prospective spouses for these children of theirs. Now another misconception that we have is that the girl's father cannot go and look for a boy for his daughter. Say, naak katai jai. The nose will be cut off. I mean, what, is our daughter on the street? No. They want our daughter, they must come and ask. They must come ask. But our daughter is not so cheap. There's no such thing. If you have a daughter at home, and you see a good boy, you can see this boy's akhlaq, you observing him, and you feel that, you know what, this family is good. My daughter will be able to fit into that family. You think of everything and you feel that, no, I think this is a good match. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the girl's father going up to the boy's father and saying that, look, boy, I've got a daughter at home. if you know of anybody, if you know of anybody, this is the easy way to do it. I've got a daughter at home. If you know of anybody suitable, right, please keep her in mind. Now if his son is also wanting to get married, and if they also thinking in the same lines that you are a good family and our son will fit into that family, then he will come to you by, you know what, my son is interested. Can we bring the son to come and see? Right? And sometimes the older people, they already got their sights, especially the nanimas and the dadimas and all that, they already got their antennas out. You know, that granddaughter is getting big, that grandson is getting big. They're already checking in all the weddings and everything. They checking everything out. Who's a suitable spouse? So this is how it's supposed to work. Now once, the boy's side, now they find out that there is a girl, right? Because that's what normally happens. There is a girl in certain house. So it is wrong to contact the girl. Even if she got her own cell phone and she's working and she got a car and everything, she's still her father's daughter. You don't contact the girl. Contact the father. Or if we are afraid of talking to the father, but we know the father's brother, we know some uncle or somebody in that family, go to them, you know, via this. He knows how to butter the bread. So you go to him, then he will go and make the connection. Right, now the girl side will say, okay, bring the boy on certain day to come and see the girl. Now this is permissible, right? Once one sahabi told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm getting married to certain Ansari woman. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you see her? Did you see her? You're getting married to her, did you see her? And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that see her before you get married. Before you get married, see her first. So it shows that it is permissible for the boy and the girl to see one another before they get married, before they make the decision of getting married, right? So generally the boy will go with his parents or whatever to the girl's house. And the girl's house, they will have one, two elderly people there. Because elderly people can see what young people can't see. So they'll have one, two elderly people there, etc. And they will bring the boy and come. Now, here we do a wrong thing. What we do? We make the girl bring one tray of samosa and tea to the men in the lounge. Right? Now, this is incorrect. Why? That girl, these men are all strangers to her. Now sitting here, maybe the grandfather, the father, maybe the boy's brother, don't know who and who, which men they came with. Only one person is marrying her. All of them not marrying her. She's not a slave woman on sale. That now everybody has to check out and give us points. It's alright, we'll do the check the judgment later and see. No. There's no need for the boy's brother to see her and the grandfather and the father and all these people. They don't need to see her. Right? The father needs to meet her father. He needs to check on that level. Hey, how's the family, everything, you know? The only person that needs to see the face of the girl is the boy. Because he needs to see whether I can wake up tomorrow morning and look at this. If I can't wake up and look at this, then I must forget about it. Right, so he needs to see her face, she needs to see his face, because she too needs to see, can I wake up in the morning and look at this now, right? Because everybody's taste is different. Allah Pak made everybody differently. Somebody like butter chicken, somebody don't eat butter chicken, somebody wants chicken tikka, somebody else don't eat chicken tikka. Allah Pak made everybody different. Everybody's taste is different, looks are different, everything is different. So the girl needs to see the boy needs to see the girl. That's all. The whole family don't have to get a viewing. Because what if the boy goes to see the girl and he's not happy or the girl is not happy? What did all these other men look at her for? So first, find out about the family, whatever. Everything is positive. Then we say, right, now we want to come and see the girl. Right? So you bring the boy there. Now how this should be done is that have the girl seated in one room, right? And have a mahram with her. Have a mahram with her, right? Either her brother, her father, or somebody, some mahram with her. And then let the boy go and see her, right? Now, must caution our children that, boy, when you're going to see her, see her. That's what you're going there for. Don't worry about your shopping list of questions. Questions can be asked through the elder people later. You got 1 minute, 2 minutes. You aren't going to sit around there now and have a cup of tea with her and all that. You got limited time. You just have to see. That's all. Now, obviously, then make salam, whatever, one, two niceties. That's fine, right? But the object is to see. That's the main thing. Now, the girls also sometimes, they're very, very shy. Now, after 2 weeks, when the boy proposes, now, super Papa, I don't know what he looks like. Mara. You never see him. Oh, I never see. I was looking down. I never see. Now, what are you going to do? Tell him to come again? So they call this the samusaran. When the boy sometime ends up going 5 houses, 6 houses, 7 houses. So anyway, the boy and girl must be allowed to see one another and caution them from beforehand that, look, make sure you see. That's what the whole meeting is for you to see him, for him to see you. Right? After that, now, in today's times, they are telling the girls, no, you must prepare a whole questionnaire and all this. There's no need for all of this. Right? There's no need for all the heavy questionnaire, and the boy comes with his shopping list of questions, and she got her shopping list of questions. There's no need for all of this. It's just, the maqsad for this is just to see. That's all. Right? So, obviously, now after they have seen, boy will go to his place, girl is with the ladies. Now, we give time to the boy to decide whether he wants to propose or not. Now, this is another mistake that many boys' families make. They went to see the girl. As soon as they came out from there, they decided, hey, the samosa wasn't right. Forget about it. We're not proposing this side, right? But they don't tell the girl's family anything. Now, that bichari is waiting. Somebody came to see her. She doesn't know whether this person is going to propose or not. The family is in limbo. They don't know whether he is going to propose or not. So once the boy's family has made up their mind that they're not proposing, get the message across. Now you don't have to say the samosas were not tasty. You don't have to say, no, he didn't like the girl. I mean, all that is blunt, right? It's a simple thing. Blame it on the istikhara. You don't say istikhara with who and all that. Or you don't blame it on istikhara. You can say also, you know, in Gujarati they got a saying, you know, the old people, they masters, they got very respectful ways of saying things. So they say that nothing coming in the boy's dhyan. Dhyan mani mani. You know, so finish, the story is over, right? But don't just leave it in limbo. The Arabs got a wonderful custom. Arabs, if the boy came and saw the girl is, right? So now, the boy, he'll make his istikhara or whatever, and now he proposes, right? So now, after he proposes, now if he's not proposing, they'll tell the girl's side, not proposing. If he's proposing, he puts a proposal. So they give a time frame, that, okay, you come after 2 weeks. Right? By then we got our answer. So when they come with the eldest person from the girl's family, and the boy's family, eldest person is there. So they come, they sit down in the living room or whatever, and they will start engaging in general conversation. Now, if the old man from the girl's side goes and pours coffee For the old man from the boy's side is yes. He said yes. The girl agreed. Well, that's why I'm sharing my coffee with you. Coffee is a big thing with them, tradition. But if he if he doesn't give his coffee, he other things all. If he doesn't give you the coffee, then must know nicely that is no, don't ask. No, there are no embarrassing moments here. You know it was no, you didn't get the coffee, right, Arati, you go away nicely. Now don't ask. No embarrassment, like, you know. Sometimes you feel hard to say that now no or something. That's why the boys side, 9 out of 10 times, they don't contact the girl side to say that it's no. So you don't have to say it bluntly. You can, the father just phones, he's not interested. Finished. Start, put blame on him. He wants to get married. He said no, put the blame on him. Khalas, story is over. But inform them. Now if the boy's side is positive and they propose. They propose now for the girl. Now we have to give the girl's side an opportunity to do their investigations also. They have to find out, and in today's times, find out and find out properly. So you have to give them time to find out and for her to make her istikhara, etc. Right? Now, girls' party, remember something. Lot of times we just tell the girl, okay, now they proposed, make istikhara. Right? This is not the right procedure. The procedure that should be followed is the boy's side proposed. The girl's side now must have a mashwara. They must sit down, call the elder people, the nana is alive, the dada is alive, whoever, or the elder brother, whatever, the father, have a mashwara, the big brother. Sit down, say, right, you know what these people have? Put a mangu. In Gujarati they say mangu. See, the person put a mangu now. Who we charge? You know, what are you all thinking? What do you all think? So let everybody voice their opinion. From their opinion, somebody may have picked up something else. Somebody may know something else. Somebody may know something else. Now, if there is already a negative vibe in the family, then forget about it. Get back to that family and tell them, Poiri na vichar mani mani. Now, dorit on her. She's not interested. But if, you see, this mashwara is very important. According to Maulana Abdul Hanif Sahib, who is like a, you know, authority on this whole nikah thing, he says this mashwara is even more important than the istikhara. Make this mashwara. Now, after the mashwara, everybody is positive. Or, the negative aspects that have been voiced are not things that should even be of concern. Right? For example, if the granny says, no, that fellow's nose is too big. Right? You got a very big nose. Our daughter got a pretty nose. We're going to give her the Pinocchio. Right? So now, that is for the girl to decide. If she never liked his nose, then she'll say she's not happy. If she likes the big nose, I mean, that's fine, there's no problem. So if the negative that was voiced is not of a shari'i thing to call off a nikah or something, then we don't worry about that. But if the things that were voiced are of essence, we must look into it. If it is true, then at that point call it off. Why? Because remember, girls are emotional creatures. Right? Once there is some hope now that we're going to get married, and now you tell her, start making istikhara and everything. Now she's already into this thing. And then you come up now, no, the nani is not happy or the dadi is not happy. Now you're going to cause it now. So rather, before she starts thinking anything, first make the mashwara. Right? Mashwara is positive. Now we tell her, Joe, you make your istikhara. You make your istikhara now. And istikhara is best for the person to make themselves. That's the best. Right? So in this mashwara mode, we still need to find out, phone the boy's ustad, phone somebody in the town that we know, phone some family member that we know. The girl's family has got all the right to do this. And the boy's family must not take offense. It's their daughter at the end of the day. So after all this is done, everything seems positive. Now you tell the girl, you make istikhara. Right? She makes istikhara, and if her istikhara is then positive, if it is negative, negative, finish, call it off. If it is positive, now the boy's side must be informed that look, from our side also, it's a positive answer. Right? Now call the Morana and make the nikah. We'll come to that next week. Making the nikah. Okay. But this is basic. Now there's a lot of things in between. We're just doing a basic, what you can say, like a lesson on how we're supposed to go about doing this thing. This is how it's supposed to be done. This courtship and meeting somebody in the high school and varsity and workplace and all that, this thing is disastrous. This is disastrous. And having an affair from beforehand, this is also disastrous. So rather, follow this route. It is a pure route. It's a clean route. And it's a safe route. And inshallah, there will be more barakat. Let the elder people look. Let them look. They find a family with a suitable person for their child. Then take the boy to go and see that girl and take it from there, as we have mentioned. Now, as I said, there's a lot of other things in between, but this is just a brief overview on how we're supposed to go about. And as I'm going to reiterate this one point before we end off, is when it comes to this, have an open relationship with our children. Let them be able to voice themselves. Even after the boy comes and sees, or the girl sees, whatever, the boy needs to propose, he needs certain advices, he needs to talk to his father. You know, now there's so many thoughts coming to my mind. My father was one very, very good example of this. I know when I went to see girls, how he would sit with me after that, explain to me everything. He would never just tell me, "Hey, just forget about this thing." Or just, and we went to see one girl. We came back, and we were discussing it now, making mashwara, the family, whatever. One or two family members were already negative; they were not prepared to listen. I was thinking, no, this may be a good home. My father said to me, he said to me, "Bhai, see, I got no problem with the family. Hikmat. I got no problem with the family. I got no problem with the girl. They are good people, everything. There's just one thing I want to tell you, that when you are deciding, when you're thinking about this whole thing, at the end of the day, the decision is yours. But when you're thinking about this thing, keep this one fact in the forefront of your mind." He says, "See, this family is an extremely wealthy family. And the girl side of the family, after we went there, 2 days later, they sent a message, grapevine message, that if there is a negative, it will be from your side, not from our side." They are already decided. We didn't even propose to. They already decided. So my father told me, he said, "Look, this family is a very wealthy family, extremely wealthy." I remember his words. He said, "What you will regard as luxuries, she will regard as necessities." One sentence. He said, "What you will regard as luxuries, she will regard as necessities." You don't want to live a frustrating life. but you think about it. But I could talk to him about it. My father was very strict. You're younger, growing up, all that, very, very strict. But when it came to this aspect of life, he was a very, very different person. He would sit alone with me, talk to me. I could talk openly to him. He would talk like adult to adult. He would speak to you, give you a hearing, allow you to voice yourself, advise you on that. And this is how it should be. If we just adopt like a military attitude, that is when these children decide to run away and all these things. Khair, inshallah, next week we will try and move on to the aspect of nikah and walima. If Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq and hayati, and if you deciding to have walima, then wait till after Maghrib. We think nikah cannot take place in Ramadan. There's no rule that nikah can't take place in Ramadan. The Hadith Sharif says, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَان وَفَرْحَتَيْن. What's it? فَرْحَتَان. فَرْحَتَان. The fasting person got two moments of happiness. So, one is at the time of iftar, the other is when he meets his Allah. So, if the fasting person got married, he had double happiness iftar time. Double happiness in having iftar time. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's one nikah was also in Ramadan. There's no rule that you can't get married in Ramadan. Khair, only the walima will have to wait till after iftar time, then you can have walima. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.